and welcome to North Sound's Energy Podcast. I'm Hope Webb. Since our last podcast, the North Sea oil and gas industry has been the subject of national news as the sector struggles to stay afloat as it battles with the ongoing falling price of oil. In fact, we've heard the word crisis a lot in the last few weeks. As it stands, as I record this podcast on Friday the 16th of January, the price of Brent crude stands at $49 a barrel. That's less than half from what it was in the summer, when it valued at $115 a barrel in June. So why is it dropping so much and at such a fast rate? Well, let me try and explain it in the simplest of terms. The oil price is partly determined by supply and demand and partly by expectation. Demand for energy is closely related to economic activity, and supply can be affected by things such as weather and by political upsets. If producers think their price is staying high, they invest. If not, they don't. Simple. But four things are now affecting the picture. Demand is low because of weak economic activity and a growing switch away from oil to other fuels. Second, turmoil in places such as Iraq and Libya, two big oil producers with nearly 4 million barrels a day combined, has affected it. Thirdly, America has become the world's largest oil producer. Though it does not export crude oil, it now imports much less, creating a lot of spare supply. And finally, Saudi Arabia and their Gulf allies have decided not to sacrifice their own market share to restore the price. So that's a little bit of a breakdown as to why the price is falling, but what's getting done about it? Well, that's what everybody is talking about, and that's what I'll discuss right now. Let's take it back to the beginning of the month when Jim Murphy visited the Granite City. He came to announce his plans to produce a resilience fund, which is a pot of money which towns or cities which suffer from an event that has a devastating economic effect can apply for. But that's all if he gets voted into government. He talked me through it and how it will work.
The fact is that Aberdeen has been and will continue to be the oil and gas capital of Europe. But with the Brent crude price falling to, what, $51 a barrel today, it's, while motorists across the UK may enjoy filling up their tanks for less, it's creating a very serious problem here in the North East. And so what I've announced today is that governments can't sit by and watch this happen. Set up a resilience fund so that if this crisis develops and some of the things that we saw in Aberdeen in previous oil crisis happen, then there's a pot of money for the city council to apply to support people to get back into work, to support small businesses who are struggling with their business rates. It's a different way of doing things, but the need is urgent at the moment. The pressure on the oil price is so significant that governments have to do things differently. That's why the Labour Party has made this proposal today. I think what the referendum lesson from what's happened over the past few months is the fact that the SNP during the referendum told us, don't worry, it'll all be all right in the night. The price will stay at $110 a barrel. And today, unfortunately, it's now at $51 a barrel. And the fact that we can all see when we fill up our cars the cut in prices at the forecourt. But if we were independent today, it wouldn't just be cutting prices at the forecourt, it'd be cuts in public services, because the independent Scotland would be so reliant on the oil and gas taxes. So you can't base the economy of an independent country on the remarkable and finite fluctuating commodity that is the price of oil. That's a lesson from the referendum, and I think the SNP have got to do their economics all over again. I want the governments, the Scottish Government and the UK Government, just to put aside whatever differences, and the leader of the Scottish Labour Party, I want to put aside differences and say to all the politicians and all of the governments, what's happening in the fall of the price of oil is a crisis. It has political consequences, yes, but there's a developing human consequence of potential lost jobs and pressures that people have in paying their mortgage. So I want the most senior people in both governments to come together. I want the party leaders, all of the Scottish the Labour Party leader, Lib Dem, Tory, SNP leaders, come together and just work together for the interests of Aberdeen in the North East. And that's why, if they don't do it, I want to take Aberdeen to them, because this can't be ignored. We can't have an approach of crisis, what crisis, because this is developing in a way that, while we can't stop the global changes in oil prices, we can deal with some of the consequences here in Aberdeen.
At the announcement, the room was filled with important figures, including Oil and Gas UK's chief executive, Malcolm Webb. He spoke after Murphy's speech and gave me his thoughts.
I think Sir Ian Wood got it absolutely right when he said that the future for this industry lies in collaboration. Collaboration across the industry and between industry and government and between industry, government and the regulator. And what we heard today from Jim Murphy was, I think, an acceptance that he sees that he has got a role to play in that. We heard from the Aberdeen City Council leader too, Jenny Lang, that, they have a role to play in this too, and they want to collaborate and they want to work together with government north and south of the border and the industry and the trade unions. Well, we subscribe to that entirely. So I'm broadly speaking encouraged. These are very difficult times for the industry, very difficult indeed. We will get through it, but we won't get through it unless we collaborate and work together. What's happened with this price drop that we're seeing now is, it's exacerbated problems that were already there. We had problems with this industry, with the fiscal regime, with the failing regulatory regime, and frankly with the cost inflation that we're experiencing in the industry before this price drop came along. We weren't quiet in talking about that. So I don't think there's been a silence. And I think it would be a profound mistake for us all to pretend that we don't have a serious issue here which needs tackling now. It's very important that we do, and that we get the right constructive behaviours going right across the political scene, right across the industry, and also with this new regulator that's just been formed.
So obviously with the announcements today, you're encouraged by them, but there's no way of telling people in the industry all will be well, because might not be.
No, but I think the industry shouldn't, and nobody should go off into a slough of complete despond here. This does not spell the end of the oil and gas industry, and it certainly doesn't spell the end of Aberdeen as Europe's oil capital. This industry is too important for this nation, it's too important for the world, frankly. It will continue on. The question is, if this price slump continues for a long time, the longer it continues, then the more damage it will do. And I think what we all need to try and do is make sure that we mitigate that damage as best we can. And the only way we can do that is all working together.
But the focus of these talks have always been about the oil workers. And with BP and Schlumberger both announcing major job cuts in the North Sea operations, the risk became very real this week. BP said they would be getting rid of 200 employees and 100 contractors, whereas Schlumberger admitted they were slashing 100 North Sea jobs in a bid to cut 9,900 positions worldwide. And industry experts are warning this is not the end. The fact is, North Sea jobs are just not safe. So Nicola Sturgeon, Scotland's First Minister, arrived in Aberdeen on Tuesday the 13th to announce a new task force that aims to support those facing redundancy during this difficult time. Well, what does that all mean? I'll let the First Minister explain.
Well, the Jobs Task Force will be chaired by Lena Wilson, the Chief Executive of Scottish Enterprise. It will report to the Scottish Energy Advisory Board, and it's going to be very focused on working with the sector, with companies in the sector, to maintain employment levels during the period of low oil prices, and also where companies are downsizing or consolidating, to work with affected individuals to support them into alternative employment. There's a very specific guarantee at the heart of what we're announcing today for apprentices working in the oil and gas sector, where we are giving a guarantee that any apprentice faced with redundancy will be supported into alternative employment, and the Scottish Government will incentivise an alternative employer to the tune of £5,000 to take on that apprentice. Or where in some circumstances that might not be possible, we'll guarantee the continued off-job training for apprentices, because, you know, when you're dealing with a sector that has such a strong past and has such a strong future ahead of it, it's really important, above all else, that the young skilled workers of the future are protected and supported.
As she said, the task force will be chaired by Lena Wilson, so I sat down with her to talk about how it will all work and what challenges it might face.
I'm delighted to be asked by the First Minister to chair the task force. This is day one of its existence, but I hope to bring together all the members of it within the next fortnight for the first meeting, all the public sector agencies and key players from industry. And our focus will be a very practical one. It'll be understanding the nature of job losses, but also understanding where companies are looking to recruit and making sure we do everything to match those. So very practical. This is undoubtedly a really difficult and challenging time for individuals and their families and whole families that are being supported. But I hope this gives people some confidence that the issue is recognised, that their difficulty is recognised, that we're going to take every practical step we can, because a lot of Scottish companies are also growing in this industry and growing with contracts around the world. So there are opportunities, and we want to just short-circuit it as much as possible and give as much practical support and advice as possible.
And what issues do you think you guys might face bringing together this task force? Is there any?
Well, I think there's a tremendous amount of goodwill. Everyone in the industry is very concerned about it. They know that the long-term future is really important. We should be optimistic about the future. We all know this is a cyclical industry. So I actually think people will get round the table and want to get their sleeves rolled up and do everything they can to help.
Their aim is to make sure those who do face losing their jobs are looked after and hopefully helped back into more work somewhere else. But not all is doom and gloom. Well, that's what Ed Davey wanted to make sure people knew. In fact, some oil companies, such as Aker Solutions, have been expanding their business despite the difficult times. That's why Ed Davey went to visit them at their new offices in Dyce, which is still under construction. I spoke to him.
So tell us a little bit why you thought it was important to come to Aker today then.
Well, Aker's investing in its people and in employing staff here here in Aberdeen. They believe, as I do, as indeed I think Oil and Gas UK does, that there's a huge, healthy future for the North Sea industry. Yes, these are difficult times. No one's pretending otherwise. With the collapse of the oil price, that is challenging. We've seen the news from BP today. But actually, if you think of the long term, we have seen the oil price collapse before and then come back. We've weathered these storms, and the government and I, as the Energy Secretary, are determined to work with industry to make sure we weather the storms this time.
So it's about letting people though know that it's not as big a crisis as some might think.
Well, we're not trying to belittle this. We think it is serious and we need to take action. But the good news is we actually have been working with the industry for several years to prepare for change. I asked Sir Ian Wood to do the Wood review of the industry, to review the regulatory regime some time ago, and because of his recommendations, completely supported by the industry, we set up the new Oil and Gas Authority, and that's going to be able to coordinate and get the industry to collaborate better to reduce those costs in a way which makes those savings but can still maximise employment. And that's going to be the challenge, keeping the jobs that are so important for Aberdeen, for the northeast of Scotland, for the whole of the UK, frankly, that are critical, but making sure we can adjust to this new world.
And we can't forget that all of this is affecting Aberdeen as a city. Aberdeen, Europe's oil capital, thrives off the industry. It needs it to survive. That's why Aberdeen City Council's leader, Jenny Lang, called for an oil summit to bring together industry experts and government at all levels to discuss how to keep the city prosperous through these tough times. Well, she called for that at the beginning of the month, and now a date has finally been agreed. On the 2nd of February, it will be held at Aberdeen Exhibition Centre, with the likes of Labour leader Jim Murphy, First Minister Nicola Sturgeon and Scottish Secretary Alistair Carmichael. Council leader Jenny Lang spoke to North Sound's Joe Odber about it all.
I'm delighted we've confirmed the date as the 2nd of February. We've had good feedback from both government and within the industry and trade unions. People are keen to come and be part of the summit, and I look forward to us hopefully drawing up a strategic plan which will see us safeguard the future of the industry.
So what's going to be the main points on the agenda? What are you hoping to get out of the summit?
Well, I think what we need is we need people to come to the table with an open mind. We need them to come wanting to make sure that the oil and gas sector can be secured. And I would hope that through discussions, hearing from the various parties, we can come up with a plan that will be looking at short, medium and long-term solutions to help us sustain that very important oil and gas sector for the UK.
And a couple of big names already confirmed that they will be there.
Yes, we've had confirmation that the First Minister will be here. We've had confirmation that Secretary of State for Scotland will be attending, and I look forward to welcoming them to the city.
You were saying that you're expecting more and bigger job losses in Aberdeen. Is this something that the whole city is kind of braced for?
Well, I think we do need to prepare ourselves. I wouldn't want to be overly pessimistic, because I think they will be working hard to make sure that they're retaining as many of the employees as they can. I think it is something that we need to look at for the future, because we need to make sure that the skills base that we have within the industry isn't lost at this point. We need to give the oil companies confidence, I think, that government at all levels are looking at ways in which we can help to sustain the industry for the long term.
We've seen some party political kind of bickering over this, but this seems like something that there is cross-party support for, the same kind of things about keeping these apprentices in training, etc.
I think it's in everybody's interest to make sure that we sustain the oil and gas sector within not just the North East but the UK as a whole. It's vital to our economy and it's important that we all work together. I think the time for scoring party political points needs to be put to the side. We need to make sure that we are securing the long-term future of this industry and protecting jobs, not just in the North East but throughout the UK, because they also have an impact on the local economies in which these people live and work, and we need to be making sure that we are protecting that as much as we can.
Can I ask your thoughts finally about something else BP have said this morning, that the price of oil could stay at around $50 a barrel for 3 years? What kind of effect would that have in Aberdeen?
Well, I mean, it's the one thing that we can't control at any level of government within the UK, but we have to be mindful of what experts are telling us, and I think we have to learn lessons from the past where we just expected the oil price to come back up again. We took no other action. I think we realised from what's happened in recent months and what's being predicted that we can't rest on our laurels. We need to be putting things in place to make sure we sustain the long-term future of the industry.
And you can be sure we'll bring you all the latest news about the summit in February. And until then, we'll keep you up to date with what's going on in the industry as the price continues to fall. Don't forget to tune into North Sound News during the day to keep up to date with all the latest developments. But that's the end of this episode for North Sound's Energy Podcast.